Good evening, everybody. I am an alcoholic. I'm a member of the Koinonia group in Largo, Florida. That's in District 1, for those of us familiar, in South Florida. My sobriety date is January 17th, 1992. My name is Donna. I want to thank the District 6 Literature Committee and Dee for asking me to present tonight on Our Great Responsibility. The full title of the book is Our Great Responsibility, a selection of Bill W.'s General Service Conference Talks 1951 to 1970. Kind of a mouthful for such a little book. I want to let you know before I start my current service position. I serve South Florida Area 15 as registrar. Registrar, another word for that is data steward. I have the privilege of working with a really amazing group of district registrars, two of whom are here tonight. It's our responsibility to assist new groups in registering with the General Service Office. It's also our responsibility to make sure that the information in our Area 15 database and in the GSO database, Fellowship Connection, is accurate and up to date so that our trusted servants who participate in General Service in South Florida Area 15 are connected to their districts, to the area, and to GSO. Prior to serving as area registrar, I had the privilege back in 19, I'm sorry, 2019, 2020, it only seems like that long ago, of serving South Florida area as literature committee chairperson. I had served on my district's literature committee many years before that, and I had the privilege of being a member of Area 15 when a group of district literature chairs got together and started talking about creating an area literature committee, which the members of our area approved in October of 2004. And we've had an area literature committee ever since. While I was serving as the Area 15 Literature Committee chair, our district literature chairs and I had the opportunity to be part of two really amazing events. First of all, in April 2019, we celebrated the 80th anniversary of the publication of our big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. The celebration got pretty raucous, a fact to which my friend Sharon G., who's also here tonight, can attest. She was in the room next to us trying to chair the public information cooperation with the professional community workshop, and we got kind of loud and out of hand. Still, apologies to you, Sharon, for that. But then in July of 2019, we were very thrilled to begin spreading the word about this little 270-page paperback, Our Great Responsibility, which had been published in May of that year. I had included news of the book's publication in my report to Area 15 at the July business meeting. And before I even got back to my seat, people were coming over and asking me how they could get a copy of the book. So this type of interest from the fellowship led several of our district literature committee chairs, including Betsy, who's on the call tonight, to purchase cases of this new book from either GSO or from their central offices and intergroups, which brought them to their districts and for their district business meetings and other special events as a way of introducing AA members to this treasure. As I said, Our Great Responsibility was published in May of 2019. Its publication was significant for two reasons. For one thing, this book represented the first time that Bill's conference talks had been collected and made available in print form. And secondly, it was the first original title from Alcoholics Anonymous World Service in more than 30 years. So there had not been any new books or any new book titles since Daily Reflections. We'd seen many new pamphlets, we'd seen many new service pieces, certainly updates on pamphlets. And of course, the AA Grapevine introduced many new titles, but this little book was really it was a landmark event. Tonight, I want to tell you a little bit about how the book came about. Then I'm going to talk to you about the overall structure of the book. And after that, I'm going to read some excerpts from the book just to give you an idea of the height and breadth of Bill's talks. I hope that it will encourage anyone who doesn't already own this book to buy it, to read it, and to recommend it to every Alcoholics Anonymous member that you know. And of course, I hope my talk ignites a spark of passion in you to delve deeper into our AA history, which is very, very rich, to learn more about this beautiful legacy of service that our founders bequeathed to us. So to start off, I'm going to give you a little bit of background on how the book came to be. It all started in the General Service Office archives in January of 2016. Our non-alcoholic GSO archivist, Michelle Misra, realized that our archives contained a massive collection of audio recordings of all the General Service conferences going all the way back to the first conference in 1951. but no one really knew what was included in the recordings. Nobody had ever really, gone through them and listened to all of them. Michelle started listening to the tapes and was really amazed at what she heard in Bill's talks. In some of the talks, Bill revealed a nugget of AA information that hadn't been stated or revealed anywhere else. You know, it wasn't published anywhere else in our literature. He would go into detail in response to a simple question about AA history. Our non-alcoholic archivist, Michelle, intuited that if it were possible to transcribe these recordings into essays that AA members could read, those AA members could perhaps gain very deep insights into Alcoholics Anonymous. Michelle presented her findings to then GSO General Manager Greg T. Greg requested that a book proposal be developed. The GSO publishing director, David R., was tasked with gathering a team to begin working on the proposal that included Michelle, since she was the precursor for all of this, Eleanor W., the now retired AAWS managing editor, Ames S., who was her successor, and Julia D., AAWS associate editor. One of the very first things that this group had to do was send the tapes out to be transcribed, which proved to be very complicated and time consuming, because it really what it involved was isolating Bill's presentations from very long audio tracks and then having the archive staff very painstakingly verify all of the transcriptions for accuracy. Julia D. did much of the editing on the manuscript, which also was quite complex. Her goal was to stay as true to the exact verbiage as possible, using punctuation, minimal editing to untangle the very long sentences from the talks that Bill made, mostly from his notes. And in the process, Julia and her team tried to retain the rhythm of Bill's speech to clearly capture his voice. So I think you're getting the idea. This was not an easy job. The Trustees Archives Committee heard a progress report on the writing project in July of 2017 and reviewed a sample of archival photographs for inclusion in the book. It was decided early on that the book was not just going to be words, it was going to be photos as well. The Trustees Committee reviewed drafts in October of 2017 and January of 2018, and then referred the manuscript to the 2018 Conference Committee on Archives. Now note, we're not talking about the Conference Committee on Literature, which is where most of our literature comes from. This project was the brainchild of the Archives Committee. That committee, the Conference Committee on Archives in 2018, approved the manuscript by an advisory action with very minimal changes. And the book was published in May of 2019 and then became available to the fellowship. I want to read to you what our General Service Office and its promotional efforts for the book had to say about our great responsibility. This is a quote that appeared in Box 459. Publication of this important volume culminates years of research and transcription of archived audio recordings of Bill W. addressing the General Service Conference. Complementing the text are more than 60 photographs and other images from the AA archives, some never before published. And here's how Greg T. described the book. The talks included in Our Great Responsibility capture a clear picture of Bill's vision for the future of AA and pose questions that are still quite relevant today. They also give fresh insights into AA history and the enduring purpose of the General Service Conference. So once Our Great Responsibility was available in English, like other AA conference approved literature, it was translated into Spanish and French. John DeStefano, a non-alcoholic GSO staff translator who translated 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, AA Comes of Age, Living Sober, and some other important AA works, oversaw a team of Spanish language translators. And one of the challenges that he found was that Bill's talk seemed partly improvised. They were also extremely idiomatic. He observed that Bill sometimes started a sentence with a reference to one set phrase or a familiar saying, and then through a series of apparently very impromptu connections, he finished the sentence with another, which made the work very challenging, but as John said, also very rewarding to translate. Former delegate Robert P., who was a longtime freelance translator for GSO, he worked on translating the Language of the Heart and 12 Concepts of World Service, felt overwhelmed in a positive way as he translated Our Great Responsibility into French. He immediately heard Bill's voice. That was the word he used. He heard it as he was listening. He noted, "I recognized his sadness at times, but that just makes this book even more human. It is a beautiful story." So with that background in mind, I want to tell you a little bit about the contents of the book and how the book is organized. So as you probably would expect, any project that had its origins in an archives committee, our great responsibility begins with a history section. And it starts off with a quote from Bill W. taken from his closing talk at the 1960 General Service Conference. And I think this quote sets a really beautiful tone for the book. "Most of my life in the past 15 or so years has been an effort to figure out, God knows with plenty of help, how this top function can be anchored to this movement, how to keep the cupola on the old AA barn so she just can't blow off." I mean, we know that Bill was really, really very focused on making sure that AA was here for generations to come. And so that's how this book starts. Right here in this first chapter of the book, we learn a little bit about how the General Service Conference got its start and some of the resistance that Bill encountered from many AA members, including Dr. Bob. We learn that opposition was so intense to the creation of the conference that it led to the resignation of Leonard Harrison, who was chair of the Alcoholic Foundation Board. Leonard believed that the conference would ultimately lead to the fatal divisions within AA. Rather than bringing us together, he thought it would tear us apart. I have to take a moment at this point to talk about footnotes, you know, also known as that teeny tiny type that you see at the bottom of a regular text in a book. I have to admit, depending on the book, sometimes I breeze by the footnotes, sometimes I come back and read them later, but I'll tell you that you absolutely would be doing yourself a disservice if you don't read the footnotes in our great responsibility. At the end of this first chapter, we find 10 footnotes that provide really fascinating details. Among them, we read about Ruth Hawk, AA's first secretary. We learn some background on how the Alcoholic Foundation was established. We also get a behind the scenes look at the Jack Alexander article for the Saturday Evening Post. And we are given some information about Nell Wing, our first AA archivist. We also find a really interesting description of Father Ed Dowling's fascination with Alcoholics Anonymous, another non-alcoholic who loved us. We get an explanation of Henrietta Seiberling's relationship to Dr. Bob and subsequently to Alcoholics Anonymous. There's also a mention of the founding of Cleveland's first AA group by Clarence Snyder. And what I really love, the importance of AA to Bernard Smith. Bernard Smith was a chair of the General Service Board from 1951 to 1956, and he was a very staunch advocate of the General Service Conference. So all that's just in those 10 footnotes. This first section also includes a preface to Bill's conference talks. It's sort of a prelude to set us up for what's to come. One of the points made here is that even as Bill withdrew from active life in Alcoholics Anonymous after the second General Service Conference in 1952, so he could focus on his writing projects, primarily 12 Steps and 12 Traditions and Alcoholics Anonymous Comes of Age, he made it a point to speak at the annual General Service Conference. That was something that he did every single year. We learn in this chapter that in all, from 1951 to 1970, Bill gave more than 33 talks at 20 conferences. He spoke for as long as an hour and a half in 1953, and for as little as 6 minutes in his last conference talk in 1970 when he was very, very ill. Sometimes he spoke from a prepared script, but often he just spoke off the cuff. He comes across as folksy, funny, modest, very aware of his role, as he put it, of being the oldest member while rejecting what he called the whole father's knows best business. As this chapter points out, the uniqueness of this book lies not just in the messages these important talks from AA's co-founder delivers, nor in the fact that they have never before been collected in one place, but because they capture Bill W. as one of many doing service in Alcoholics Anonymous. The chapter also tells us that in all of his conference talks, Bill repeatedly spoke of those chance meetings and connections, the slender threads that we hear about, that are woven throughout Alcoholics Anonymous. At the same time, we learn that he was very, very firmly focused on the future of the fellowship. His talks addressed the most pressing issues at each conference. So among some of those issues, acceptance of his own 12 concepts for world service. He spoke about this at the 12th conference in 1962. The group inventory taking process, which he spoke about at the 13th conference in 1963. And then at the 16th conference in 1966, his topic was the change in the ratio of alcoholic to non-alcoholic trustees. Regardless of the focus of any particular conference, Bill always emphasized his vision for how to best carry the message to the still sick and suffering alcoholic and the absolute necessity of unity so that Alcoholics Anonymous would remain vital for future generations. After this very rich beginning, the book takes us into Bill's conference talks. And I found it really interesting, you know, rather than presenting the conference talks in chronological order, the book places them within six categories. Those categories are origins, responsibility, transformation, trust, service, and the future. One of the most awesome features of the book for me, as I mentioned before, we have a wealth of archival images included. Among my very favorites, and it's hard to just pick a few, but there's a beautiful photograph of Bill and Ebby T. at the 1954 General Service Conference. Another image that I really like, there's a picture of Dr. Jack Norris, who served as chair of the General Service Board from 1961 to 1978, drinking a cup of coffee at the 1956 General Service Conference, a very, you know, candid photo. There's also a beautiful image of the telegram from President Dwight D. Eisenhower, congratulating AA on its 20th anniversary, that's superimposed over a panoramic photograph of the 1955 AA International Convention. The book contains more than 60 of these archival images, and honestly, it's worth buying, even if you just want to look at the pictures and you don't even want to read the words. You know, as I said, I want to spend some time reading a few of my favorite passages from Bill's talks, but to continue our tour through the book, after the chapters that feature these talks, we have a chapter called Other Voices. This section includes a talk that Lois gave at the 1966 General Service Conference called Personality in a Framework of Principles. This talk was about both AA's and Al-Anon's early history. I think it's really interesting. Lois observes in this talk that because it's estimated, or at least it was estimated that at the time of her talk, that five people are seriously affected by one alcoholic, the numerical potential for growth of Al-Anon was greater than that of Alcoholics Anonymous, and thus the need for Al-Anon was very great and still is today. Also in this section, we have remarks from Bernard Smith, I referenced earlier, as chairman of our General Service Board from 1951 to 1956. He gave a talk at the conclusion of the third General Service Conference in 1953. And when you read this talk, it's just so amazing that this non-alcoholic had this conviction of the profound spiritual impact that Alcoholics Anonymous could have, not just for alcoholics, but for the world at large. And the third talk in this chapter, very, very, very compelling. It's from Dr. Jack Norris, who, in addition to being a Class A non-alcoholic trustee and a chair of the General Service Board, was also the medical director of the Eastman Kodak Company. In this talk that Dr. Jack delivered as the welcoming address to delegates at the 21st General Service Conference in 1971, which was the first without Bill W., who had died on January 24th of that year, Dr. Jack talks using remarks from the eulogy that he had delivered for Bill's memorial service. He called the occasion of this conference sad and solemn, but he said that it simultaneously marks the time that our Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous must take full responsibility, not only for our present, but for our future. So following this chapter with these three talks, we have a series of three appendices. Appendix one features an excerpt from the 1955 conference report, and is titled Bill and the Night Visitors. This essay describes what I like to think of as the meeting after the meeting. You know, we have the meeting before the meeting, we have the meeting, and we have the meeting after the meeting. In this case, an informal gathering of about a dozen alcoholics came together to sit and talk to Bill on the first evening of the fourth General Service Conference. Appendix two from the 1956 conference report is titled Bill and the Conference, A Reminder. And it's Bill's review of the early conferences and his musings on what he called an appropriate, productive role for a retired co-founder. Then Appendix 3 is Bill's very abbreviated last conference talk in 1970. He was in the midst of recounting the story of how the big book was written when he has to ask for a glass of water. And even as he's struggling to speak, he was suffering greatly from emphysema. We know he was a lifelong smoker. Even as he's struggling to catch his breath, he's thinking about his listeners. He's urging his listeners not to be alarmed by the fact that he can't finish his talk. Very emotional. I cry every time I read it. I would like to spend some time now reading some passages from a few of Bill's talks. And as I read, you know, I encourage you to think about the audience to whom Bill was speaking. You know, he was speaking to the delegates at the General Service Conference. This was a much different audience than the one he aimed his words toward in the big book, in his grapevine essays and some of his other writings. But if you're familiar with the big book, if you're familiar with Bill's words, you'll notice that his tone is very similar. Certainly you'll recognize the beauty of Bill's words and phrases. So the first thing I want to read you, this comes from the start of Bill's talk at the Second General Service Conference in 1952. And if you have your book, it's on page 35. You share with me, I know, the thought that the closing hours of this conference bring with them a deep and joyous realization. The realization that at last we are surely on the high road that stretches straight out toward our future, toward, we trust, an everlasting sunrise. We face the sunrise in high hope with a confidence that is almost awesome, and with our hearts full of unspeakable gratitude. Gratitude to the Father of Light who has delivered us out of bondage. Gratitude to friends through whose hearts he has enabled the miracle to be worked. Gratitude for each other. The next passage that I'm going to read comes toward the beginning of the talk that Bill gave at the General Service Conference in 1960, where the theme was AA in an Era of Change. And I think you'll agree that the words in this essay uttered more than 60 years ago could have been spoken at our most recent General Service Conference. At a time like this, before thinking about today or tomorrow, old timers like Lois and me think about the past. I think that a key word by which you might convey some little part of what has happened might be the word communication, now so much in the forefront of our minds. When you think about it, AA is a unique means of communication. Our lives have depended on communication. Our unity depends on communication. Our function depends on communication. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit to a couple of paragraphs that you would find on page 109 if you have the book. And Bill says, therefore, we enter this 25th year stepping across one more threshold into the future. What does the future hold for us? What may be its perils? How can we strengthen ourselves against the time of peril, to put it negatively? To put it positively, how can we increase our communication with the sea of drunks around us? I realize that while on behalf of all, I've been saying nice things about us, congratulating on our successes so far, we ought nevertheless to soberly reflect that this society has made only the smallest scratch on the total problem of alcoholism. So at the 1963 conference, Bill gave what I think is a particularly poignant talk in which he seemed to show a little reluctance to turning the reins of Alcoholics Anonymous over to the conference and to the fellowship. You know, and as our translator said, you know, at times, you know, Bill could be, there was a bittersweet note, you know, that ran through some of Bill's talks. And so this is what he said in 1963. My assignment in this enterprise has had a certain uniqueness, and one of its qualities, about which I am not beefing, but recite as a condition, is this tendency to isolation. I had always been a person who desperately wanted to belong, and I know I do belong in your affections and regard in a very singular way, and I thank God for that. Nevertheless, this post has had and does have its singular isolation, which in late years has grown because the era of father knows best is passing. The time of active parenthood is over. You have come to the moment of full responsibility. This conference is a great and inspiring yearly exception in this sense that I feel I can be of and among you and one of you just about to the degree that I might mingle freely, say little, and keep off this rostrum where old habits make me renew the father knows best role. So I thank you for letting me at least once a year join the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is a prized and treasured experience on which I shall live for the next 12 months. Very heartrending, I think. The last excerpt that I'm going to read from you, no, wait, there's another one. Let's see, where is it? Yes, okay, so it is the last one. The last one I'm going to read to you, this is from a talk that Bill gave at the 1965 General Service Conference, and it's really one of my favorites. Some of this language will ring familiar because he shared similar language in his other writings. He said, "The essence of all growth is a willingness to change for the better, and then an unremitting willingness to shoulder whatever the responsibility at whatever price. In conclusion, it is only fair to say that we of AA have been able, in most areas of our lives together, to make substantial gains in both our willingness and our capabilities for the acceptance and discharge of responsibility, something that our great gathering at Toronto will symbolize and demonstrate. As we look toward the future, we clearly see that an ever greater willingness will surely be the key to that progress which God intends for us as we move toward his appointed destiny." So I hope that the background I shared with you in this amazing little book, as well as the excerpts that I read to you, will convince you to pick up our great responsibility if you've not done so already, and to return to it if you have. In closing, if you don't have a copy of this awesome little book and you want to buy one, I suggest first you check with your local central officer inner group. And if you can't find it there, go to the GSO website, specifically onlineliterature.aa.org/agreatresponsibility. You'll find that you can purchase this book for the very low amount of $10. And if you want to buy the book for all your sponsees, for your AA friends, maybe as a holiday gift, you can get bulk discounts if you order more than 19 books at a time. So I want to thank everyone for listening to me. Thank you very much, Dee, for asking me to speak tonight. I really appreciate being here.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.